Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. Today we're talking with Round County School Superintendent Marvin Moore. Haven't done that for a while. Marvin, always nice to have you on the program.
Chuck, it's always good to be here, and thank you for the invite.
Well, let's talk in generalities. First of all, how's the semester gone for the district?
It's going quite well. We're busy. A lot of things going on in the district. We know we're analyzing, looking at K-prep, looking at our test scores. We're going through all the data, taking individual students and with the each school, with their building administrators, with the teachers, and we're analyzing that data. And then with the PLC, we sit down and go through all that information and see what we need to do to improve what we can do, what's best for kids. And every school is doing that, and I want to commend the school, each school's principal and their administrative staff and teachers, because they're doing a great job working hard to make sure we meet the needs of our students.
Well, when you talk about preparing for the state testing and the achievement testing, I'll ask you this question. How does that kind of blend in with just the regular everyday learning? Because I know you, and you've heard this before, well, there are teachers that teach to the test. They're not really teaching the kids. They're only teaching them how to pass these tests. But at the same time, I know you're careful about making sure that doesn't happen.
Of course, we emphasize to all of our teachers, and of course, I've always said that's where the rubber hits the road in the classroom. To me, it's more important that they learn whatever subject may be, and not worry about the grade and about the assessment, but that they learn it is something that's they're going to retain and stay with them over the life span. And if we can get them through whatever class it may be, and they know it and they've learned it, to me, then that's success.
You went to the trimester system here a few years back. I was going to ask you, that seems to be working out well.
The high school, they've gone to the trimester. That's when Debbie Howells was principal out there, and they put that in play. And their students like it. It's worked out very well for our faculty and staff, even though they have to be more prepared because the classes are 70-minute classes. But from the standpoint of our students, that it's a 12 each class trimester is 12 weeks. And at the end of 12 weeks, if we need to do some remediation or if they need to maybe have to take that class over, that gives them an opportunity, two more trimesters, to pass that class. But the teachers have to have better units, and they have to be better prepared when they go in the classroom because they're going to be in there 70 minutes versus 40 minutes. So the students like it, and the staff like it, and the parents have been very complimentary of it, and I think it's worked out well at the high school.
Does it assist kids better, perhaps, on the old system in talking about preparing them for college?
Well, we think so. That's kind of the thinking behind it, that we can get them through a 12-week period. And, again, if they need some remediation, they have the second trimester to do those things. But as I mentioned a few minutes ago, the main thing is that we want to make sure that they learn it. And then we assess them at the end of course. And once we assess, if they need some additional help, we make sure they get that help.
We've talked about the high school before, and here just this past summer you completed a $4.5 million renovation project, and from all accounts things seem to have worked out pretty well.
That project, Chuck, is really going well. You know, when we started that project and when we started talking about the renovation, I mentioned to the board at the time, you know, this building's 33, 34 years old, and we need to give it a shot in the arm. And because if we give it a shot in the arm, I felt like we could get another 20 years out of that building. If you try to build that new building new right now, you're probably talking about $45, $50 million. And then the renovation took place all last year. And like I told the group last night, we had open house last night. And I did not receive one phone call or from parents or guardians or students or teachers complaining about the construction. Everybody worked through it very well. Because I think they would see what the end result's going to be. We do have a few punch list items left, but overall it's turned out very well. And I think that if you haven't been out there, I would invite anybody to go, call me or call the high school administration. We'll give them a tour because it's really changed the complete overall aesthetics and looks inside the high school, and we're very pleased with it. And I think it's been a project that it's going to serve this community well for the next 20, 25 years.
As part of the project, you installed a brand new secure front entrance on this. It's high security area. How has that worked out so far?
Well, it's worked out very well. We had a safe school audit about 3 weeks ago at the high school. Last week, the people that did the safe school audit at the high school, they mentioned to us at that time at a board meeting last Tuesday that was one of the best setups that they've seen, and they're going to have other school districts to come in and look to see what we did at the high school to secure and make sure our building is safe for our students, because the safety and welfare of all of our students come first. You know, that just shows you how times change. You know, I was principal in 1974, where we have our central office located now, and we used to prop the doors open and open up the windows to get fresh air and let air flow through and welcome people in. But this is what we're living with now, this day and time. You know, I think I like the other way better, where we didn't have to worry about the security. But now with things going on, we worry about the safety and security of students at all times. And to get back to the question, that front entrance has worked out very well and very secure.
From a peace of mind standpoint, have you gotten the feeling and the impression from, say, teachers, staff members, students, and even parents that they feel much better about things?
Oh, yeah, we're getting very positive feedback. The teachers, everybody has their own card. They can swipe and come through, and they don't have to go through that entrance. That card is coded so that they can swipe and not go through the front entrance. But the students, I think, and the parents, it slows them down just a little bit. But I think that's time well spent when they know that we're there for the benefit of our students and for their safety and welfare.
Well, let's talk about some of the other projects coming up. I wanted to ask you about this because it was in the Moorhead News here recently regarding improvements to the athletic complex, and if you would, talk about that.
Well, we brought it back up, put it on the table with the what we're going to call a multi-purpose facility at the high school, and because we're going to call it multi-purpose because not only would football, soccer, middle school, or band, baseball, and in community, they'll be able to use this facility if we're able to do it. And we had the architect come at the board meeting last week and presented. We did a complete plan 3 years ago. And in that plan, we were about ready to start shoveling dirt out there, and then the state pulled back some of our funds, and we put it on hold. But we're still, the plan is in place. And we're just looking to make sure that this is what the community wants. I think it's going to be good for our students because all the things we do, it's for our students. It's not for the adults. And if we're able to pull this off, I think it's going to be a nice complex out there for a multi-purpose activity or athletic facility that everybody in the community will be able to use.
So if you would, detail what you want to do out there.
Well, what we want to do is, to start, we want to put artificial turf on the football field and have it wide enough, and it's wide enough now where we can play soccer on it as well, because soccer has a different width than football. And then we want to completely resurface the track. That rubberized surface on the track now has been there over 20 years. Usually you get 8 to 10 years out of that surface. So if we're going to go in there and put turf on the football field, I feel like that we need to go ahead and redo the track. And then eventually we wanted the press box. We want to completely redo the press box. And then also the concessions. We want to renovate the concession area and renovate those restrooms as well. And we want to make it as convenient as we can when people come in. It's a good place to go to watch an event, whatever the event may be, whether it be band, whether it be soccer, whether it be football, or whatever activity's going on, track. And we want to make it a nice venue out there, and we don't want to have to take a back seat to anybody in the Commonwealth.
What's interesting is you mentioned there's some funding for the state that fell through that caused the project to collapse earlier, and now it's being revived. And at that time before, the city and county had talked about committing some funds, I think it was something like $10,000 a year for 10 years, to help out with the artificial turf for the football field, the soccer field. And in return, they'd be able to use that field for community events when the school system didn't need it for its events. Is there a plan perhaps to go back to the city and county and talk to them about that idea?
Well, at one time, the county did commit $10,000 a year over a 10-year period, $100,000 to that project. But since that time, they have pulled that commitment back, and they're no longer going to make that happen for the fiscal court. City Council never did make a commitment to do that. And as I mentioned to the board, if this is something we're going to do, this is something we're going to have to do on our own, not depend on the fiscal court because they've got their needs, not depend on City Council. They've got their needs. If we're going to make this happen, we'll need to do it ourselves, which I think now with the sale of the board office to the university, we've got enough local funds. I think we can make that happen. As you know, KDE will not let you bond athletic facilities. And part of this will be considered athletic facilities. And with that said, we'd have to come up locally with the dollars to make that happen. And I think now with we've been good stewards of the tax dollars. We have not raised our taxes in the last 2 years. We've kept them the same. And I think we're in a position now that we can make that happen. And we've been talking about that for a long time. And if we don't do it now, 5-10 years from now, it's not going to get any cheaper. We'll be talking about it again. So I'd like to see us go ahead and make that multi-purpose facility happen out there because I think it would be good for our students.
I know that the sale of the board office to the university, Morehead State University, was about $2 million. How much would it cost you to refurbish the athletic complex the way you want to do it?
Well, we of course, that's why we put out bids. We don't want the bids come in. Best guesstimate for the turf and completely redo the track and those two things, I think you're talking, Chuck, of right at $1 million.
All right. Have you got a timeline in mind for starting and completing this?
Yeah, that's another one. We've called a special call board meeting December the 5th to submit a BG1 to KDE because that's where we start, and they have to give approval for this project. Anything over $20,000, we have to get a BG1 and submit it to the KDE for them to approve. And we've already called a special call board meeting at noon on December the 5th to go ahead and submit a BG1. And then after that time, then we can put bids out there. We're hoping to submit bids by February. And if we can get those bids submitted, and then we can, if the board goes ahead and approves this project, this is a board decision. So it's not my decision. Of course, the actual recommendation, my recommendation, we can do it. I think we will do it because, as I said, it's good for kids. But if we can get the bids out and accept the bids by March, our architect tells us that we can be able to play events on it next fall.
Yeah, obviously having an artificial turf field would open up a world of possibilities because with the way that football field is, and I know you know this as well as I do, it doesn't drain that well, but that turf would help a whole lot.
Well, yeah, they'll go in, and that's the biggest amount of the cost of that facility is getting the drainage in there because they have to go in, and of course we have to dig down. They have to put all new drain lines in, and then making sure that it's drained properly before they finish the putting the turf on it. And it will. Our architect tells us they'll make it so if it comes a heavy rain, it just drains right off, and we'll be able to play on it within minutes and won't have to be playing in the mud.
Well, and that too. I mean, it would save band competitions because they can't be out there stomping around in the mud either. And if there's turf out there on a Saturday, you know, they can go out there and still do their thing.
Absolutely. And, of course, another thing I was going to throw in there, I'll interject that now. Right now, with the Bermuda grass we got out there, we're spending about $40,000 a year just to maintain that Bermuda grass. And over a 10-year period, really, if you think of it in that terms, the turf would almost it would pay for itself. And we can set aside an earmark, say $40,000, $50,000 a year, and then every 10 years, if you replace that turf, they say you get 10 to 12 years out of it, depending on how much how much you're using it. And if we can do that, we'll have enough money earmarked already to replace the turf. And that's kind of the discussions we've had as well. So I just think it's a good opportunity for our students to try to make this project happen.
Yeah, it sounds like you're pretty excited about it. It sounds like it's got a good chance to happen.
And then the other thing, too, I've always wanted to get a field house out there. And with the purchase of the KCTCS building, we're hoping in one of the back areas that when we renovate that, after they move out, of course, the KCTCS building is under the new building is under construction out on 801. You can see the from 801, you can see the steel going up, and that project's, I think, it's on schedule. And we're hoping once they move out, we're one area of that facility, we're hoping to renovate and turn into a field house, and that field house will be right in the middle of all the events out there that take place on the multipurpose facility out there.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Marvin Moore. He is the school superintendent here in Rowan County. I'm Chuck Meraz. We'll pause right here, come back with more in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's front page. I'm Chuck Meraz. Again, we're talking with Rowan County School Superintendent Marvin Moore about things in the district, and he's talked about some projects here in most recent minutes regarding the athletic complex out of the high school area that could be used for several different purposes. I know you and I have also talked about the building that the board is currently in, the old middle school building, which has sort of become the greatest utility building in the history of mankind because it's been used for so many things since the new middle school was built and the old middle school was vacated. I mean, you've used it for all these different things, but at the same time, it's the board office now. But after the board moves out to the KCTS building here in a couple of years, what do you do with it?
Well, Chuck, I've kind of made a complete rotation. I started my administrative career in that building in 74. I was a high school principal, and I'm back in the same office I was in 74. And I've certainly it's worked out very well. That building has served the needs of this community very well. We went in and painted and put some carpet down, renovated some restrooms, and it really turned out nice. And it's very functional for us. Everybody's got more space than we had at the office that we sold to the university. And after we get through and we renovate the KCTS building, we are going to move the board office out to that facility and the early learning center and then the alternative school. And then we're also talking about the field house and some other programs. And, of course, that KCTCS building is a 70,000-square-foot building. That gives the board a lot of options to move programs out there. But I would think with the after we make the complete move from downtown, it's a nice piece of property. Where else in Morehead can you go downtown and find 10.7 acres? We've had it surveyed. We've had it appraised. Where else can you go downtown Morehead and find 10.7 flat land in Morehead? And I think it's a nice piece of property. And at that time, the board will make a decision of what they feel like we need to do with it. But I anticipate at that time they'll make a decision that we need to see what it will bring and then make a decision at that time if we want to let it go. But I think with St. Clair, with the expansion they're doing over there, I told the board last week, I said, I think that's going to help the sale of this facility if and when we decide to make that decision. But it's a nice piece of property.
I know we talked earlier and you discussed maybe at some point in time it could also be renovated and turned into a new downtown elementary school. Is that still on the table?
Well, there's a lot of options on the table, and we're not going to close the door on any of those options. And at that time, and then we can determine, look at the district and look at redistricting some of the outside areas in Rowan County and see where the need's at and make that determination at that time.
I know that you're kind of planning for the future, too, because the western end of the county near the 801 interchange is an area that's growing quite a bit in population, and more businesses are looking to move out there, too, as well, or locate in that area, which means more kids out in that area. Have you thought about maybe a school in that area?
Well, as you know, 4 years ago, we purchased 24 acres right off 801. It's the main entrance going into Eagle Trace. In that area to the right, you'll see it's located, and that's a nice 24 acres. And working through the industrial board, we worked out interest-free over a period of 6 years to pay the that property off. And we're almost at the point where that property's paid off. At that time, we felt like the industrial board really worked well with us. And I foresee in the future that would be an outstanding location for an elementary, because, as you mentioned, that area is really growing out there. And, of course, that would be a few years down the road, the old saying goes. But I think that that would be a tremendous piece of property, of land out there to look at for a potential school site.
Yeah, I've seen the projections going through 2040, and Rowland County is only expected to grow. It's actually one of the few counties in this part of the state that's expected to grow. So I guess you have to always kind of stay ahead of the game and plan for the future like
well,
that.
Well, we do. And with the renovation of the high school, we thought about that. When we built a new middle school now, can you believe we've almost been in that middle school 7 years now already? And then that's another thing we did last week. We refinanced some bonds that we sold in 08 for the new middle school. And by refinancing those bonds, over the next 10 years, we're going to save $562,000 of the bonds. When we sold in 08, they sold for 4.5. Now we're selling those bonds at 2.8. And over a period of the next 10 years, that's a $562,000 saving. Those are the kind of things we look for. That gives us more bonding potential. But a lot of things going on in the district, and we do look down the road and project the enrollment and see what we need to look for addition onto for facilities or if we need a new facility.
How are you doing with enrollment right now this year?
Our enrollment's up about 16 students overall. It's not the growth that we want, but I think with all the things that's going on in Morehead, Round County, I think I looked the other day, I think there's about $168 million of construction going on around county, and I think that's going to bring jobs in, people moving in, and with the expansion of St. Clair, with all the things that's going on here at the university, I think that's going to bring a lot of people into our area.
And we'll explain again to people that for every student that you get, it means more state funding.
Yes, we seek allocations based on your enrollment. And right now with the preschool, we're right at 3,300 students.
And I guess you get about, what, $33 to $35 a day per student? Is that roughly right?
It averages out about, right now about $4,000 per student.
Okay, for the year. For the year,
mm-hmm.
Right. So the more students you have, the more money you have for the district.
The more sick dollars we get.
And then the better you can do for the kids.
Of course, I think from the state standpoint, they've got they need to look to bring more revenue into education. And we've talked about this several times as well. You know, transportation is a big cost to us. We haven't had an increase in transportation since the 03, 04 school year. They're paying us about 58% of what it costs for our transportation. And last year we spent $2.2 million. We got $1 million from the state. The other $1.2 million come out of local dollars. If they would just help and catch up with transportation, that would be a big help to take care of a lot of needs we have in our school district. I'm talking about in the classroom. And then going back to what I said in the classroom, that's where the rubber hits the road, because if it don't get done in the classroom, it's not going to get done.
Marvin, is the Department of Education pushing for more transportation funding?
Well, we've certainly brought it up every year. We've been the KESS, that's the superintendent's organization statewide, that this is a big need. And, of course, I've been saying all along, we need to restructure the tax codes in this state. And hopefully that's something they're going to look at. And if we can get that done, hopefully that's going to bring more revenue in to make things like this happen for school districts and other projects throughout the Commonwealth.
Sounds like you'll be watching the 2017 session of the General Assembly very closely.
Absolutely.
All right, Marvin. As always, we want to thank you for your time. We appreciate you coming over. Always good to have you on the program and find out what's going on inside the Rowland County School District.
Chuck, thank you and Morehead State for the invite. And I always enjoy coming up here and kind of catching up what's going on in our district.
Again, that's Rowland County School Superintendent Marvin Moore, our guest today on the program. I'm your host, Chuck Morales, on Front Page. We'll see you next time.